You have my word, VNA, that if you date a guy who's mean, we will beat him up.
Yes.
Tep and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I'm the Tep Greg Tuffer.
And I'm the Step Matt Step.
I don't know why I did it with such like sass in it.
Week three, it's Sass Week.
It's Sass Week. That's what it is. This is going to be Sass Week. Yeah. Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very much, unless you're watching for free on YouTube on Friday, in which case, get your money up.
Yeah.
That's not true. We're glad that you're watching.
I mean, we are glad. Did you see the numbers last Friday?
I'm telling you, man.
The people want Tep and Step on Friday at noon.
The people like the Tep and Step.
So, we appreciate you watching. I think that was like 1,500 people at one time.
But, so, like,
consider subscribing.
So, maybe consider subscribing and helping
get more content like
help
this.
Help make this show possible.
Yeah.
And help pay the exorbitant salary of our producer, VNA Moreno. Hi, VNA Moreno.
Hey, VNA. Hello, hello. How's it going?
You're going to be keeping copious notes, right?
Always.
Okay. Did we do VNA? We need to make sure we do VNA's notes.
Don't worry.
We've got bits.
Well, what did VNA write down?
Speaking of bits, before we get started, final score, Carn City 27, Poteet 7.
Okay, wow. What a win for the Badgers.
Badgers, big win.
Big win for the Badgers.
So there
big
you go. There's our random Tep and Step game of the week from last week. We've got a hipster game of the week and a rando game of the week now.
This show's getting complicated. Yeah. This is your week three preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Coming up here in just a moment, I'm going to give Step some 0-2 teams and some 2-0 teams and ask him whether or not he's buying that.
Ooh,
plain and simple.
Little buy and sell
buy
stock.
Buy and sell. Exactly right.
We'll stonks.
And then we'll have our week.
Yeah, we can use that too, WTF.
Then we'll have our week three game draft. You're going to get me beat up by Mallory Hartley. She's jacked.
She is jacked.
But Matthew, we will start first, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Community Coffee.
So refreshing.
Community Coffee, which has a read that they sent. Community Coffee supports and celebrates the thriving communities at the heart of Texas high school football. Community Coffee, strong as our roots. Discover more at communitycoffee.com.
This morning was a we had Frodom this morning.
We had Frodom.
And it was a morning that I think a nice hot cup of coffee would have been warranted.
Cup of Community Joe.
I think a cup of Community Coffee would have hit the spot this morning.
Matt Stepp, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. It's kind of an inverse of last week's fun fact of the week. Matt Stepp, there are 5 UIL 11-man teams that have played 2 games that have not surrendered a point. Mm-hmm. How many can you name?
I can name Humble Summer Creek.
Humble Summer Creek is one.
Started out the box real hot there, but now I'm
yeah, I was gonna fading. I thought you were about to rattle them off.
No, I'm fading now. Yeah. Hawley?
Hawley has given up some points.
Dang it. Okay. They pitched a shutout last week.
You did. The other two, or the other four, rather.
Yeah.
One more 6-8 school. Pasadena Rayburn.
Shout out to the Texans, who are now Slot Team Mafia.
Yes.
Sergio Gonzalez. Listen,
that's how the defense stays fresh, right?
Yeah, Slot Team Mafia.
Here, file this under, not surprising, Canutillo.
No, they're
not
always...
Yeah, they're not surprising.
Really good on defense.
I would not say this is super surprising. Altair Rice Consolidated has not allowed a point. A
little bit. They're you know, they impressed us at State 7-on-7, and they are continuing that success.
And they had a really nice win this past week over
Shiner.
Yeah, that was a good win. Yeah. That's a 3-over-2A, but still, very good. And the other one, again, a good history of great defense is Big Sandy. Big Sandy has not allowed a point. So
they were good in the 70s.
They were good in the 70s, and they're good in 2024. There it is, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. All right, Matthew, let's get into a little bit of week two recap. And we should probably, I hate to bum people out, but we should probably acknowledge the sad news. We are recording this on Monday. The sad news that came out this morning on TexasFootball.com of the tragic passing of Alan Aldridge, the Fort Bend Bush head coach. Long, he was there so much longer than I thought he was.
Yeah, he's their head coach for 15 years and basically started coaching there when he got done playing in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he was a Super Bowl champion.
Mm-hmm.
Really sad. Yeah, I mean, ironically, he played for the Denver Broncos and he coached the Fort Bend Bush Broncos, mm-hmm. same school, same colors and everything. And, you know, he was a U of H guy. He was a Fort Bend Willeridge alum. He's pictured in the magazine. I remember tweeting out a picture of him in the magazine. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I didn't know him super well, but always had pleasant interactions with him. And obviously, it's a tragic news. I mean, way too young, 51 years old, passing away early this morning. Overnight in his sleep, apparently. So, really sad. So, you know, prayers and thoughts are with Fort Bend Bush, the Aldridge family, and all Fort Bend ISD. Really, you know, a lot of the Houston coaches too. He's a mainstay there, so a lot of folks knew Coach Aldridge well. So, our condolences and prayers. To that family and to everyone down there.
Yeah, most certainly. It's very, very, very sad. And again, too young to go. And for Fort Bend Bush, you just imagine what the rest of their season's going to be like. It hits you so hard. I mean, think about like, I just think about this. Like, you think about being like a high school kid.
Yeah.
And like, especially a guy like that who was, I mean, I think all Texas high school football coaches are easy to look up to, but a guy like that, where it's like, that's really easy
from
to talk
same
to.
He's from
there,
the
same area.
Yeah, and played in the NFL and you know, went to the hometown, went to U of H and all that stuff. So, yeah, really tough. And so hopefully those kids, I'm sure they'll dedicate their season to him and his family and hopefully make him proud.
Most certainly. Okay, so let's now try to transition as best we can, as inelegantly as possible.
To nonsense.
To stuff that doesn't matter. We're through 2 weeks. And we've got doing the rankings each week, it's becoming increasingly like weird, like, and just like not painful, but just like difficult because we're having to weigh so many different things because there's been such like upheaval and such chaos already in the first couple of weeks of the year. But I want to float out a couple of teams that are 2-0, and I want to ask you, are you buying or selling? And then I'm going to come to a couple of teams that are 0-2 and ask you if you're buying or selling. Okay.
All right.
Matt Stepp, a 2-0 team. Are you buying Byron Nelson? You want to wait till after this week, don't you?
Yeah. We may talk about that game. Yeah, I'm not ready to buy on them yet.
Okay.
I'm not ready to sell.
Right.
I'm holding. Can I?
You can hold. Okay. Buy, sell, or hold.
I'm going to hold on Byron.
Buy, sell, or hold. Matt Stepp, buy or sell Angleton?
I'm willing to buy in on them. I think I am too.
I
think they can win the district. LaPorte's off to a slow start. I could see Angleton winning the district.
I talked to Jason Britton in the offseason, and like I think I drank the Kool-Aid then.
Yeah.
And so now I'm just like, of course they're 2-0.
Yeah. I'm buying on Angleton.
Matt Stepp,
give me some Angleton stock.
Are you buying in on 2-0 Prosper Walnut Grove?
No. Selling.
Selling? Yeah. Okay.
Matt Stepp, nice start, but let's see what happens against the Big Four in that district.
Matt Stepp, are you buying in on 2-0 Fort Bend Crawford?
Yeah, I am actually.
Okay.
And I'm going to see them next week. Not buying them as far as a state contender or anything, but I think they can get into the playoffs, which would be first year, huge.
Mm-hmm. Matt Stepp, are you buying in on 2-0 Center? This is a team that was replacing a lot.
No, they're selling.
Still selling them?
I just don't trust their defense. Eventually, I just don't trust the defense.
Okay. All right. So now I'm going to go in the reverse.
Okay.
0-2 teams. Okay. Right. Teams that are off to maybe a bit of a rough start, and at least in the record book.
Sure.
Matt Stepp, are you buying or selling 0-2 Dickinson?
I'm buying.
Buying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I trust John Snelson.
I think I do too. Matt Stepp, are you buying 0-2 LaPorte?
I just talked about them. I'm selling.
Selling LaPorte.
I thought LaPorte would win the district. We had him ranked 15th in the state preseason, so I'm selling right now. I need to see a little bit more from those guys.
So right now,
I'd sell. Maybe selling too early, but I'm getting out of there.
Next up, are you buying 0-2 Lovejoy? Two losses are to Lubbock Cooper and Highland Park.
I'm going to hold on them.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a little encouraged losing to Highland Park by 7 at home in Highland Park. That's encouraging. I'm holding.
Are you buying 0-2 Kennedale.
No, selling.
Selling Kennedale.
Just, I love Coach Barrett, but I just...
This is probably...
It's a program that's kind of on the downslide right now.
I got 2 and 482. One's okay. Obvious. Are you buying 0 and 2 Gilmer?
Yes.
Are you buying 0 and 2 Lorena?
No, selling.
Are you buying 0 and 2 Albany? Ooh. That's a tough... Okay, because here's the thing. Let's have a dialogue about Albany.
Let's have
this
a
is worth having. Let's have a
let's have a discussion.
Somebody's trying to call my phone. I don't know who that is.
They know you're doing a podcast.
I don't. It's not my wife though. She knows.
My wife.
Albany is 0-2, and now the two teams that they played, good teams.
Stanford,
Hawley, both bigger than them, both strong, and they have a Hall of Fame head coach, one of the greatest coaches in Texas high school football history. Mm-hmm. Like, no hyperbole in Denny Faith. And also, I'm not sure they can score, and I'm a little worried about that
offense. That's the not the if they were 0-2 and got beat, you know, even though it was like, you know, 42-21 or something by Stanford and, you know, lost like 20-14, I'd be like, oh, okay, you know, lost close games. They're not good right now.
They can't get the offense going.
No. I'm going to hold because Albany and Denny Faith, and then they get into Division II, I think they'll be fine, but I'm not encouraged by the start. I'm holding right now, but not encouraged.
Yeah. I think I tend to agree with you. Oh, okay. And finally, there's one last one that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
I'll lump these two together. Are you buying 0-2 Newton or 0-2 Dangerfield? Buying or selling? We dropped them from the rankings this week.
Yeah, deservedly so. I'm not willing to buy, especially Dangerfield, because they have a new offensive coordinator. I think there's some struggles there. Mm-hmm. I'm holding on Dangerfield, buying on Newton. I mean, Newton's lost to West Orange, Stark, and Jefferson. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not that worried about Newton. Mm-hmm. A little more worried about Dangerfield, considering they lost to Gladewater, and then Gladewater turns around and gets demolished by a new Diana, who's also a 3A Division II team in Dangerfield's region. So... Mm-hmm. That's a little more... Dangerfield's a little more dicey than Newton right now, to me. I would still buy Newton stock.
There it is. A little buy and sell with Matt Stepp. And remember, it's Matt_Stepp817 on Twitter. You're just like, let him
send your send your complaints.
Send your complaints there. It's now time, Matthew, for our Week 3 game draft. If this is your first episode of Tep and Step, welcome. Here's how it works. Awesome. Step and I go back and forth selecting games we are most interested in. That's the phrase that pays. Mm-hmm. So if you want to take... Let's pick out our random game.
I got one already ready.
All right. So if you want to take...
Abilene, TLC, and Haskell.
Then you can do... You can just take Abilene, TLC, and Haskell.
Yeah.
And you can just, like sell me on it. Like, tell me why I should be interested in it.
Sure.
It's kind of what we're doing. We want this to be like a tasting menu. You know what I mean? We'll go back and forth selecting games. We'll go 5 rounds. Then we'll round it all out with our hipster game of the week. And then what did VNA write down on her notes? So that's what we're doing. Had a coin flip before the show. Matt Stepp won the coin flip. So he gets to pick 1-1 in this week's draft. Matt Stepp, on a week where actually what I like about this Week 3 slate, I think some some off the beaten path regions have really stacked schedules. Mm-hmm. It's like it's an okay week in DFW, right? Especially compared to last
to last 2 weeks, yeah.
In Houston, there's a couple, but it's an okay week in,
sure.
But like Coastal Bend, awesome week in Coastal Bend. East Texas, very good week in East Texas. Great week in the Panhandle, right? Yeah. So, like, this is an opportunity to kind of branch out. Matt's up in a geographically diverse Week 3. What's your first pick?
I'm going to go Friday night, 7 o'clock at Nelson Field in Austin.
Oh!
As the 2-0 Wimberley Texans...
We will find out.
...visit the 1-0 Austin LBJ Jaguars. Mm-hmm. And really, a little tasty... Syntex Austin area showdown between two state ranked teams in 4A, one Division I and one Division II. Wimberley in Division II. Needless to say, they have been very good in the regular season over the past few years. They have won 27 straight games in the regular season. A lot of wins for Doug Warren's ball club.
Let's find.
And maybe probably among the longer regular season winning streaks in the state.
It is presently, Gunner just had theirs snapped.
That's regular season winning streak.
Yeah, I believe it's
playoff.
Yeah, regular season. I believe it's maybe third behind Timpson and Westlake.
Very good regular season
winning. That's good. That's good company.
That's strong. Last week, they took care of business, 35-9 over Fredericksburg, but a little closer than you would have thought. Mm-hmm. That was 21-9 going into the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So the Batlin Billies hung around in that game. Shout out to Fredericksburg and the mm-hmm. Batlin Billies.
Mascot challenge winner.
It's a great mascot. And as usual, Cody Stover did Cody Stover things. He had a hand in all five touchdowns for Wimberley. He threw three touchdown passes, had two touchdown runs. Remember last year in that state semifinal game against Belleville? I think he had a hand in every yard of offense.
He put on the cape and like almost single-handedly like willed them to the title.
He had like 456. Wimberley had 456 yards of offense, and 456 yards were either running or passing by Coach
It's
Stover.
One of the all-time great performances in a losing effort.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
Like,
He well-deserved ice bath after that game, more than likely. But he's doing it again as a senior. He's been there. It seems like he's been there forever. This is his third year as a starter. You know, he got thrust into that role when Cash McCollum transferred from Wimberley to China Spring as a sophomore and has been unbelievable. Led him to a state championship game his sophomore year, I believe. And then last year, they went to the semifinals. Yeah, lost to Belleville in the semifinals.
Sounds about right.
Really, really good. Wimberley's really, really strong. They don't have the big names. They don't have the talent that, you know, but they're just a great program. They've got a great culture, and they believe in their system, and they just get it done.
I think we said it in the 4A preview about, like, Doug Warren, like, among the most, like, if you were to ask me, like, who's an underrated Texas high school football coach? Like, Doug Warren is the guy. You're just like, every year they are rock solid.
Yeah.
They can have turnover at the most important positions, and it's still like, no, we're going to win at least 11 games.
14-1, 13-1, you know, it's just kind of what they do. So, LBJ had the odd week two bye last week. They're back in action this week. They had no trouble with Sam Houston from San Antonio in week one. 56-7, easy win. It was 49-0 at halftime. The Jags emptied the bench.
We're not editing this. Write that down, V&A.
Sorry, V&A. Emptied the bench in that game. And, it was a blowout. What do you say? Now, they've had 2 weeks to get ready for Wimberley. 2 weeks. And I think that's a big edge for LBJ, having 2 weeks to prep. Mm-hmm. You know, clean some things up week one. You know, because week one is going to you're going to have your mental mistakes, your penalties lining up wrong, procedure, that kind of thing. So they've had 2 weeks to get ready for this Wimberley ball club. And they have one thing that Wimberley that's been their kryptonite, and it's speed. Mm-hmm. Wimberley traditionally has struggled when they run up against teams who present problems on the edges with their athletes and their team speed. You look at Wimberley last year against Belleville, not as much against Belleville because Belleville is more of a plodding team, but you look at that Wimberley against Carthage in the state championship game 2 years ago, their matchups against Cuero, and when Cuero's been really, really talented in skill positions, they've given Wimberley a lot of trouble. I think that's a problem. But for some reason, I just like Wimberley in this game. I think this might be the year that Wimberley kind of exercises a little bit of those demons. I think they make a statement. They are here as a state title contender. We haven't talked about them much in 4A Division II because all the talk centered around Carthage and Belleville and Gilmer. And Wimberley's just kind of hanging out like, hey, we're still here. So, I think Wimberley, I think Cody Stover puts the cape on, leads Wimberley to a close win in Austin on the road.
I'll say this about Wimberley is their defense is perpetually underrated, and their defense is doing the thing again this year. Through 2 weeks, defense has been very, very good.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of stars. They're just a great unit.
Yep, they're just workmanlike. So there you go. All right, LBJ and Wimberley is your first pick. My first pick, Matthew. Let's go to Jackson County.
Edna?
Close. Oh, that game's really good, too.
Okay.
And I've reserved the right to draft him.
Okay.
7:30 p.m. Friday night at Indian Stadium in Ganado.
Okay, not far at all. Okay.
As the number one ranked in 2A Division I, Ganado Indians welcome in the newly ranked East Bernard Bramus, who cracked the 3A Division II rankings in just... They sort through the rubble of 3A Division II's rankings and find a spot there.
Yeah. Nice win for East Bernard in their opener. They got a nice win in the opener over... who'd they beat? I'll look it up.
You can look that up.
Okay. How could anyone even know that?
Let's talk about Ganado for a moment. This is a team that we had number one in the 2A Division 1 rankings to start the year, and they've stayed there. 2-0, off to a very solid start. They're moving some things around.
Goliad. They beat Goliad.
Goliad. That's right.
Beat,
really
Goliad
nice.
Beat Tidehaven last
It's a really
week.
Nice win. It's a really nice win. But Ganado is moving some things around. I think they've got some players who are nicked up. I think they've got some players who are injured right now. Mm-hmm. And I think they're playing maybe with one hand behind their back offensively. But they found some great pieces. They still have Logan Burris, who's kind of their two-way star. And then Vince Sablatura, their running back, has really been a star for them the first 2 weeks. And then, you know, of course, their defense has been great as well. Guys like Landon Hicks up front. And we had high hopes for Josh Irvin's squad. And so far, they've lived up to the hype. They look like, right now, I think you have to consider them. I don't feel bad about ranking them number one in 2A Division 1.
No.
I feel like they've looked at the part. East Bernard, I present to you one of the most underrated storylines of the offseason is what's happening at East Bernard. Okay? So Wade Bossy, retired? Is that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Something like that.
No, he went into administration.
Administration.
He went into district administration, yeah.
And they go out. And East Bernard goes and hires Gilmer Harmony's Jeremy Jenkins. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremy Jenkins, good coach, going to a good program, and you're probably thinking, there are hundreds of Texas high school football coaching changes every year. Why could I possibly care about this? Well, that is because for years and years, East Bernard has been a member of the Slot T Mafia. And now, here comes Jeremy Jenkins, who says, yeah, brah, Let's spread this thing out and mm-hmm, go. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they are transitioning to the spread offense. And the early returns,
pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. They've got Dan Bartlett at quarterback. Great quarterback name. Mm-hmm. That guy's my age. Dan Bartlett's my age. And a bevy of weapons on the outside like Malik Thomas. They have found, like, the early returns are very good.
Yes.
I think they have been better than both the teams they've played. Although the Goliad win's very good. But, like, that to me is really, really impressive, is the transition they've made. This will be a really good litmus test on how well that transition is going. Because Ganado's defense can go.
Yes.
Ganado's defense is really, really good. And that's going to test them. These are two teams that tend to play close games. And I think that this game's probably going to be close again. I think I lean towards Ganado to be able to disrupt the offense a little bit and mm-hmm. get them off kilter and find a way through. I like Ganado in a close one, but I think this game's really interesting, and I think this is a great like measuring stick game for both these teams.
Sure.
Even though it's 382 versus 281, it's a really good measuring stick game for both these teams on where they are in their development, which is obviously in different places right mm-hmm. now considering the coaching change.
So Ganado's punched up in both their games this mm-hmm. year, played 3A opponents. I don't disagree with you. I think East Bernard gets them. Gives you more trouble on your 2A rankings.
They
struggled with Van Vleck in week one, only winning by 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think East Bernard's a lot better than Van Vleck.
Yeah, but I think that you make the biggest change between week one and week two.
Yeah.
And they looked good last week.
The computers got it as a 1-point game.
It's a good game.
Should be a great game.
It's going to be a great game. Yeah. Go to Jackson County and watch football. All right, Matthew, what's your second pick?
I'm going to stay in the Austin area.
Oh, wow. Wow. You know,
Danny Davis would be very proud of me right now.
Danny Davis's head is spinning at the moment. He's like, what?
What is going on?
But he hated Austin.
Yeah. 7 o'clock Friday at Chaparral Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
I think technically in Austin. As the 2-0 Atascocita Eagles make the long trip on 290 West to come into West Austin to take on the Westlake Chaparrals in a juicy and tasty Houston versus Austin showdown live on Texan Live.
How about that?
And let's talk about Atascocita real quick. Last week against Katy, they get down 14-0, and we're like, hey, Katy has come out to play. They're throwing a haymaker.
I'll be honest, I was sitting on the set of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight, live 7:30 Friday. And they got a 14-0, and I go, I fear
didn't
that Atascocita may not have that dog in them.
Katy came out on fire. Mm-hmm. They scored.
They had like a classic Katy touchdown of like play action the over the top, like post route. There's nobody within 10 yards. Yeah. And I'm like, this is over. Yeah. They're gonna run away from them.
Well, Cardae Mack in that Atascocita offense said, "Yeah, we got this."
I am putting Cardae Mack on dude's rock watch.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I reserve the right to upgrade that to a warning, especially after this week. Mm-hmm. But, like, he's on dude's rock watch.
Second year in a row, he has tormented Katie. He had 356 yards of offense, 4 touchdowns, three through the air, 1 on the ground, and looked really good throwing the ball. That was the one question about Atascocita coming in, is can they throw the ball? Can they be consistent in the passing game? And Cardae Mack said, hey, I got this. Torrey Blaylock had OU commit. Torrey Blaylock had 2 touchdown runs as well. They outscored Katie 41-10
the rest of the way
after that first salvo in the first quarter. So, especially in the second half, Katie led 17-14 at the half. Atascocita 27-7 second half.
So they beat them back-to-back years.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, the list of teams that have ever beaten Gary Joseph in back-to-back years,
it's probably not very long.
It's like North Shore. Westlake.
Did Westlake beat him in back-to-back years?
I know
Westlake beat him in the semis that one year, but I don't know if they play. I know North Shore beat him.
Beaten him back-to-back years. Yeah. Cedar Hill did. Yeah, title game.
Yeah, Cedar Hill.
But like that is
maybe Cedar Hill, North Shore, and Atascocita.
It's a list that does not take long to call roll.
Can't really take too much from Westlake's win last week. They played San Benito, and they did what we expect them to do. You know, all due respect to San Benito, they were just overmatched against Westlake. 63-7. Westlake had backups in the second half. You know, Reese Wise throws 2 touchdowns in the first half. Cal Ivingood, Justice Johnson each ran for a couple of touchdowns. I mean, this was over at halftime. This was JV backups playing the full second half for the Chaparrals. So don't know how much you can really take from that game other than Westlake apparently got out of it healthy, which is what you really want. I do think among the fastest teams in the state. I mean, look, they're 6A state track meet champions and boys. Atascocita is going to be amongst the fastest teams in the state. Their speed is going to give Westlake trouble for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Westlake's defense is elite. They've got really good quarterback play this year. Reese Weiss in his second year as a starter, junior, is maturing, growing into that role as the leader of the Shaps offense. And the game's in Austin. A lot working against Atascocita here. I think going into Austin and beating Westlake is really, really a tough task. It doesn't happen hardly at all. I'd be interested the last time Westlake dropped a home game. Probably early in the Todd Dodge years when they were
maybe
kind of okay and Lake Travis kind of had their number. That might be the last time Westlake's dropped a game at home. I think Westlake's gets it done. It's going to be close. It's going to be very competitive, but I like the Westlake Chaparrals.
Yeah, I disagree.
Really? You like Atascocita?
I like Atascocita. Okay. And part of it is, if we know something about Craig Stump, they have not the past couple of years traveled outside of Houston all that much outside before the playoffs, right? I mean,
no, they're really three.
Even the playoffs, three to stay in Houston. I'm
trying to think of a non-district game.
I'll tell you the last time it really happened.
Was it when they went to Denton and played Guyer?
Played Guyer.
Yeah.
And they lost a very competitive game, 46-35. It was a really good
week
Guyer
before
team.
They beat Allen. In Allen.
They beat Allen. In Allen, they ended the streak.
Okay. Calling it again, huh? Streak buster.
We don't know what the streak is.
No. There's probably a streak. Westlake's won a lot of regular season games in a row.
I think they're going to do it. And I'm a believer. I'm all in on Atascocita.
Okay.
So much so that I'm very much looking forward to North Shore and Atascocita.
As we all are.
I'll say that.
Is Gavin Moritz looking forward to it? That's the big question.
I will just say that. I'm very excited about North Shore and Atascocita. Right. But I'm very excited about Westlake and Atascocita, which is an excellent
Texan
pick.
Live, tune in. I will be.
Matt Stepp, my second pick.
We had all the shout-outs there.
Yeah, good job.
We're a shout-out
podcast. Look at us plugging. 7 o'clock, Friday night. At a place that quite frankly, because of my heritage, I can't really say that I love.
Okay.
Dragon Stadium in Southlake.
Ah, yes. Yeah.
As the 2-0 Southlake Carroll Dragons welcome in the 2-0 Byron Nelson Bobcats in a game that is not only a district opener, District 4-6A opener.
District play.
District plays here. This game matters. But also is a game of two teams that each have a reason to not like each other.
Yeah, this rivalry really turned up because it really wasn't a rivalry.
No.
It's not really a rivalry until the other team wins.
But Byron Nelson last year knocked off South Lake Carroll and did so. Let's not forget, they beat him by two touchdowns.
Pretty emphatically.
They were like, that was not, I remember us coming in, and I think even go back and check the tape on Tep and Step. We talked about how it's like, this wasn't fluky.
No.
They were the better team.
That day they were. They outplayed them. South Lake, yeah, for
they
sure.
They absolutely were the better team on that day. There was also another day that followed in the regional final.
A few weeks later.
When one team was a lot better than the other one.
Yeah, and it was a different team.
56-7 or something?
It was...
Something bad.
Absolute whitewash.
It was
blowout city.
A South Lake Carroll demolition is what it was.
I think Byron Nelson got South Lake's attention. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to be honest, you know, I don't have any... I bet... Because Byron Nelson, their fan base and their students celebrated real hard.
They did.
After that regular season win. And I just wonder if South Lake, their players and their coaches were standing there in the visitor locker room and kind of watching that and just going, okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see you down the road.
And they, I think, opened up a can that night at Choctaw Stadium.
And so now it's the third meeting in the last 12 months, basically.
Yeah.
Ish. And let's talk about Byron Nelson. So last week against Louisville.
I was there.
You were there. They pulled a rabbit out of their hat.
They trailed for 47 minutes and 6 seconds of that game. They did not take the lead until 54 seconds left when Grant Bizjack.
I'll tell you, he and Leo Almanza, that pass catch combo, pretty special.
I call him Grant Wizjack because he's a wizard.
I call him Grant Rizjack.
Oh, even better. Nice.
Count it.
Yes.
And the foul. But Leo Almanza went nuts. He had 3 touchdowns, including the game winner.
He's really good. Baylor commit.
Yeah, Baylor commit. He's a stud. And what's so funny, as I was looking at this game, what's so funny, sorry, I'm still thinking about Grant Rizjack.
That's excellent.
What's good so work. Funny is that Byron Nelson, in a lot of ways, offensively, looks kind of like the old South Lake Carroll teams in that a little high flying, spread you out, got a quarterback who can move the pocket, fire it downfield. They are very vertical.
That's the difference. Byron Nelson the past couple of years has had a very stationary quarterback, guy who's going to pretty much pocket passers, not going to be too much of a threat running. Rizjack Bizjack. His brother plays basketball at Butler. He's a really good
player. Oh, yeah. Isha told me that.
He can do a lot more because he played receiver last year. A lot more athletic. He made a couple of throws out of the pocket where he extended plays, and he could have pulled it down and run, but he stayed alive and used his athleticism to keep plays alive. So he's a different kind of challenge for the Carroll defense.
So meanwhile, Carroll, if you are looking for your father's South Lake Carroll offense, like you're gonna be surprised. Like this is a team that runs the damn ball.
They've got 2 Division I running backs. Yeah. I mean, it's not rocket surgery. Riley Dodge says, you know what? I've got these 2 running backs here. One's going to USC. One's going to Baylor. Why don't I just give those dudes the ball?
Riley Wormley and Davis Penn have been great, and they're off to a 2-0 start. I will say this
bold strategy, but it seems to work.
This is the toughest test for Carroll of the season pretty clearly, like so far. Probably no, I'm sorry, for Byron Nelson too, because I think South Lake Carroll is a top 10 team.
Yes,
I want to believe that Byron Nelson can harness the energy or harness a little bit more magic from last year, but I am not sure they're going to be able to hold up against the run, and I am not sure that South Lake Carroll is going to allow them to hit the big plays necessary to keep this thing close, especially at Dragon Stadium.
I think they are going to spy Bizjack, and they're going to make him sit in the pocket and make throws. And if he can do it, Byron Nelson's got a shot. But if he's inaccurate, if he struggles a little bit, it's going to get ugly, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the South Lake Carroll. I think they're going to say, okay, we're going to spy you. We're not going to let you run around and extend plays. We're going to keep you in the pocket and see if you can make those throws into windows.
And I'll also say this. One of the things that I have adopted is the theory that, like, especially in high school football, after about 35 points or 42 points of margin, it becomes how much you actually like the other team.
There's something to that.
And I will just say that I don't think Riley Dodge is a dirty coach. I don't think he's a classless coach or anything like that. But I think that his players are going to be saying, "Coach, we want to keep like putting it on." I don't think they forgot. The
starters in for an extra series.
That's what I'm saying.
I could see that. Yeah.
So if this does get out of hand, then they're bad. I think there's a path for Byron Nelson.
I want to say Travis Pride, Byron Nelson head coach. I know he coached at South Lake Carroll, and I think he may have coached Riley Dodge. I think he was on Todd. I know he was on Todd Dodge's staff.
So I think that we are going to. I think as if to me, it's like Byron Nelson close or South Lake Carroll not close.
Sure.
Kind of where I'm at. Yeah. So it'll be fun out there at South Lake Dragon Stadium. What is your third pick, Matthew?
Let's go Saturday night, 6 o'clock at the Barry Center, as the Ridgepoint Panthers look to bounce back against the Bridgeland Bears.
Maximum Bears.
Live on TexanLive.com.
Wow.
Saturday night special.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry about watching the college football on Saturday. Watch some Texan Live.
That's what all the cool kids do.
Yeah, that's what. Have you heard the good news about Texan Live? A lot of speaking of college football, a lot of future college talent in this game.
Yes.
A ton of prospects in this game. Ridgepoint comes in a little bit smarting. They got upset last week. Fulcher, the new kid on the block in 6A, came out and got down early. They were down, I think, 14-0, 21-6, and rallied to knock off Ridgepoint 49-41 despite a monster game from Houston Cougars commit quarterback Austin Carlisle from Ridgepoint, who had four touchdowns. The key was Ridgepoint turned the ball over a couple times, set Fulcher up with a couple of short fields, and Ridgepoint just couldn't stop the run. And Fulcher just... I think they had two guys with 200 yards rushing, just bulldozed them. And Ridgepoint's going to have to get that fixed. As talented as they are, they have to be willing to play, to stick their nose in the dirt and play physical football. Because that's what's going to get it done in the playoffs. You know, they've got the great DBs, they've got the pass rushing defensive ends who can get after the quarterback. But can you bow up, put your hand in the dirt and stop the run? And they didn't do it last week.
No.
Well, they're going to get a test this week from Bridgeland, because Bridgeland up front is tough. They've got an Oklahoma commit in Ryan Foggy and a Texas A&M commit, Jonte Newman, on that offensive line. Two studs on bookend tackles for Bridgeland. So Bridgeland, you know, they can get downhill and run the football. Alex Spence Myers had three touchdown runs in their win over Katie Tompkins, 41-24. Tompkins is a little down this year, but still a very impressive win for Bridgeland to beat Tompkins in Katy by 17. Very impressive. Bridgeland's still using two quarterbacks. It's very interesting. They're still playing Jet Lewis and Tyler Beagle. Well, I watched a good port just doing some, you know, just doing some advanced scouting.
Yeah, as you do.
We may talk about that in a little while at the end of the show, why I was doing some advanced scouting, but just doing a little advanced scouting, and I noticed Bridgeland, Jet Lewis gets most of the reps, but Tyler Beagle gets plenty of reps. I think he's the junior, if memory serves, and Jet's the senior, so... You know, Lonnie Madison setting it up for next year, getting the junior quarterback some experience. They both threw touchdown passes last week. So, you know, didn't look like there was much drop-off on the Bridgeland offense when either player was in the game. Ridgepoint's defensive line is going to get tested. They're going to have to play. Their defensive line and linebackers are going to have to put together a better effort if they want to go into the Barry Center and knock off a team that a lot of people think is probably the best team inside Fair ISD in Bridgeland. Now, on the flip side of that, I do think Ridgepoint is going to have an inspired effort on Saturday. I think they were a little bit embarrassed by what happened. They got their pants pulled down by Fulcher. And I think a lot of people are kind of writing them off. And don't write off Ridgepoint. They're going to be really, really good. I think Austin Carlisle is that dude. Big candidate for he got that dog in him award winner this coming week. I think he's going to have a big game. And I think the Ridgepoint defense is going to play better. I think they're going to be inspired, and I think they took it personally what happened last week, and they're going to be ready to go. So I like Ridgepoint in a close one, one-score game. I'll say Ridgepoint 38-34.
Boy, we disagree again.
Wow.
Rolling with Bridgepoint. Or Bridgepoint. I'm picking Bridgepoint. I'm picking Ridgeland.
If they combine teams, I would pick them.
I would too.
Yeah.
I'm going Maximum Bears. I think that
you're such a homer.
I think that they have maybe something got exposed last week. Now, I don't know if they have the kind of weaponry that Fulshear has that can expose that, but I think you're right. The defensive line for Ridgepoint has got to play better.
It's noted Bridgeland alum Tommy Yaris is just fist pumping.
Exactly right. Maximum Bears. Matt Stepp, my third pick.
If Bridgeland wins, you need to tweet out Maximum Bears.
I will. If Bridgeland wins, I will tweet out Maximum Bears on Saturday night. Matt Stepp, I'm going to be hanging out with my family.
And I'm gonna tell honey, hang on.
Hey, pause the movie. Pause the movie. I've sent a tweet.
Yes.
Hashtag Maximum Bears.
Bridgeland just won, guys. And Hank's look at you. What?
Matt Stepp, let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Bobcat Stadium in Sunray.
Oh, yeah, this is a
in what we are tasty. Calling the Dude's Rock Bowl as...
Sponsored by Dude Wipes. Dude Wipes. You want to sponsor Tep and Step? Dude Wipes.
The Stratford Elks take
cut
on
that and snatch a scoops.
The Sunray Bobcats in just I just love this game so
it's very
much.
Very tasty.
I just love this game so much. Yeah, I think it's like this isn't the best game of the weekend, but this is my favorite game of the weekend.
The only thing that would make this better if it was like really cold. You know, up in the Panhandle, it gets cold. A lot earlier than it gets cold here. If it was like cold, that's the only thing that would make it better. Just nice like 40 degree night.
So what's interesting about this game is that these are two 2A state semifinalists.
Mm-hmm.
Both Region 1 champions in Class 2A.
Yeah.
That just like
flip-flop divisions.
Swap divisions.
Yeah.
Sunray is the reigning 2A Division 2 Region 1 champion. They moved to Division 1.
Mm-hmm.
Stratford, reigning 2A Division 1 Region champion. Division 2. They're hoping to trade trophies, basically.
Sure.
They're hoping to trade spots.
Maybe grab one more trophy.
Maybe grab one more. And look, I can tell you all about like the offensive line play. I can tell you all about like the schematics of this and stuff like that. Let's cut to the chase.
Oh, what's this? Let's cut the malarkey.
It's Armando Luan and it's Bryce Braden on the field at the same time.
Dueling it out. And Bryce Braden's going to be on the field on defense trying to slow down Armando Luan.
And I think Luan's been playing safety too. So it's like
2A football, man.
So Armando Luan, the Sunray quarterback, is closing in on the state career passing mark. He is just quite simply one of the most decorated passers in Texas high school football history. That's not an opinion. Go check the record books. Argue with someone else.
Yeah, he threw for 307 last week. Just a normal day at the office.
I'm serious. I would love to know the number of times he's been under 300 yards passing.
Dude rolls out of bed and throws for 320.
Exactly. It's crazy. And then there's Bryce Braden, who is a moose, and who...
What a perfect description of that.
He is...
In the nicest way.
He is Stratford's leading rusher. He is Stratford's leading passer. He leads Stratford in tackles. He leads Stratford in sacks.
Yeah.
He's Superman for them.
He threw for 222 and ran for 177 last week.
Like
in a losing effort, but still.
He's a monster. Now, that's the thing. Now they played a 2A Division 1 team last week in Panhandle. Stratford.
Really good 2A Division 1.
Good Panhandle team that's right outside the rankings right now. Basically, nobody lost in 2A D1, and so They're basically on deck.
Yeah.
There's a spoiler alert. They're about 11 or 12 right now in our kind of unofficial rankings. And... they got challenged by a good Panhandle team. They lost in overtime. Sunray, no problem. Actually, a really nice win last week.
Yeah, rolled past Abernathy, 39-0.
That was really impressive. This game, for all we're going to talk about, the star power here, the name of this game is the defenses, and specifically, these are two teams that each believe that they are championship caliber.
Mm-hmm.
Here is an opportunity for each of them to show that they have a championship caliber defense against a team that is going to challenge you in various ways.
Absolutely.
Like the Stratford secondary is going to get pushed. And the run defense specifically, and just like the fits for Sunray, is going to get pushed. Who can come out with those? Who could look better, look more like a championship caliber defense in week three? Admittedly, it's week three. You don't have to look like a championship caliber defense until week 17. But this is a real early litmus test. I like Stratford on the road. I think that they have a couple of their extra ways to beat you.
A little more complete team.
A little more complete. Yeah. I like Stratford a little bit, which hurts my heart because you know how I feel about Armando Luan.
You do.
But this game is just, it's so good.
They played last year. We had a lot of We weren't ready to buy on Sunray.
Yeah,
you know, we were like, okay, they hung with Stratford. At that point, we were like, okay, Sunray's for real.
They were fun. They were a fun team that got upgraded to like
elite,
an elite team. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So this is an opportunity, I think, to do that. No, like I'm not like whoever loses this game, unless they get vaporized, I'm not gonna worry about them.
Yeah, they're two of the best 2A. They're two best 2A teams in the
But this is a great measuring stick for both these teams.
Agree.
What's your fourth pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Jeff Traylor Stadium in Gilmer, Upshur County. Stand up as the 2-0 Kilgore Bulldogs visit Gilmer to take on the checking notes 0-2 Gilmer Buckeyes. Yeah. Right back where they were at this point last year.
They're doing it again.
Yeah.
They're gonna keep beating the allegations.
Now they're in some danger starting 0-3 because Kilgore looks like a wagon. They just handled White House. That's a 5A program in White House that Kilgore just mauled. Kaysen Brooks throws 2 touchdown passes, 1 going to Michigan commit Jaden Sanders. They were efficient enough on Kilgore's not an offensive just juggernaut where they're going to score 50 on you. They're going to run the football. They're going to play action pass. They're going to be smart. They're going to use the clock. You know, I think at their peak, they might be a 40-point offense, but 27, you know, with that defense, they feel like that should be plenty. Kilgore's got one of the best defenses in Texas. They allowed a grand total in the first half of Friday's win over White House of 12 yards.
Mm-hmm.
12 yards. That's all White House got in the entire first half. 27-7 win for Kilgore last week. Just dominant. Just what they do. Week in and week out, they physically beat you up. They're fast, and they play defense. For Gilmer, coming off a 33-29 win over 33-29 loss to Tyler Chapel Hill, I do think you got to be encouraged if you're a Gilmer fan.
Yes.
Brady McCown looked a lot more comfortable game two. I mean, Gilmer was throwing into the end zone at the end of the game to win it.
Yeah.
Like they were. It was back and forth. Chapel Hill just had one more score in them. I thought McCown looked a lot better using his weapons, using Webb, getting Tennyson involved, getting the running game going. I think Gilmer showed a lot more last week. The problem is Kilgore is such a unique challenge for a 4A school in East Texas because of how physical Kilgore is combined with their speed, their mentality, and just their physicality. Kilgore is a hard, hard matchup to go against. That's why they've been consistently among the best teams in East Texas in 4A. I personally think this is Kilgore's year to get over that Chapel Hill hunt. We'll see. That game's coming up later on this year. But Gilmer showed they can play with Chapel Hill. I think Kilgore's going to make a statement. I like Kilgore by 8 points.
This is a real – I like Kilgore as well. This is also going to be – I'm not worried about Gilmer. I think I'm done worrying about Gilmer. I think they're going to be fine. If anything, I'm pretty encouraged that their defense is starting to like round into form, which has been something that I've been very famously dragged through the mud about in Upshur County.
Well, I mean, their defense, they gave up 50 points like 4 times last year.
But I think that their defense has taken a step very clearly. Okay. And the offense will come around. I'm not worried about them. But I do think this is – I'm starting to come around to your idea that this is Kilgore's year. I'm starting to become more and more convinced. So it's a good pick with Kilgore and Gilmer. Matt Stepp, that's pretty far east, but it's not east enough. Let's go 7 o'clock, 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Harris Field in Texarkana.
Okay.
As the 2-0 and newly ranked Liberty ILO Leopards.
First year head coach Brad Willard there.
Doing work. Welcome in the winless Carthage Bulldogs. It's rude. They also had a week two bye. They lost to Kilgore in week one, and we've just got done singing Kilgore's praises, and then they had the week two bye.
Coach Surratt Tepper's got the pitchforks out. He's ready to run you, coach.
Yeah, I think how well that's gonna do for me in Panola County.
Gabe Brooks would be so mad at you if that happened. He'd be so mad.
But this is a super interesting game. It's a super interesting game for a lot of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's Carthage off a bye week. How much have they improved? How much have they taken that leap? I ain't worried about Carthage. I can't believe I have to say that. Mm-hmm. I ain't worried about Carthage. How much have they figured out? Can they settle in on what their offensive identity is going to be like? Because I think Kilgore kind of got them out of their offensive identity in that opener. Mm-hmm. And get Jetserat comfortable making some throws. Get that running game going to really open things up for them and get that offense going. Mm-hmm. Defense, I think it's going to be fine. Carthage, how much have they grown?
Yeah.
This is also a showcase opportunity for, I think, one of the rising powers in far, far, far East Texas. Buddy, I think Liberty ILO is ready for their close-up. I'm encouraged.
Okay.
I think what they did last week against Henderson was really impressive. They have stacked together two nice wins. They beat Pittsburgh like a drum in the opener. And then they went to Henderson and they came away with a thrilling win.
Yeah.
The offense is humming.
Yeah, they had a receiver up for Mr. Texas football. Yeah. 10 catches for like 258.
Yeah. DeQuayne Prevo.
Yeah.
He's been excellent. Their quarterback, Trip Basinger, has been really good. This team can score. They can go back and forth.
Sure. Yeah.
Some questions about that defense. Some questions.
Yeah, and this is the angry Carthage team might be the wrong team to.
I think this is a great matchup at a bad time for Liberty ILO.
Yes.
Of like, yeah. I would have loved to see this in the opener. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. But I think it has been a particularly unpleasant week and a half in Panola County.
They've lost two in a row. What is going on? What's going on in Carthage?
Line up the phone lines.
Call V&A Moreno and let her know.
I like Carthage. I don't think they're gonna have two bad performances in a row.
No.
Or not even bad, lackluster performances.
I think this is one of those games where Liberty ILO, I don't expect Liberty ILO to win. Mm-hmm. But if they keep it competitive,
I'm ready to buy in. This is a really nice measuring stick for Liberty ILO. I think Carthage has to be your favorite because this is a Liberty ILO's 3A now, right?
Did they 381, drop?
Yeah, 381. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're punching up against the number one team in 4A Division 2. Great measuring stick mm-hmm. for where Brad Willard's squad is. And by the way, if you win it, nobody's ever going to shut up about
that. District's turning into a really good district mm-hmm. with Liberty ILO, Tatum. I think Jefferson's.
A radio interview in the offseason about it, and it's a good district. I said Liberty ILO was like my sleeper out in Deep East Texas, Far East Texas. And
watch out for Atlanta, also.
I hate you so much. What is your fifth and final pick, you jerk?
7:00 Friday night at Crowley ISD Stadium, live on TexanLive.com.
What is that like?
And I'm not picking these games just because they're on Texan Live. I'm picking them because they're great games.
Mm-hmm. On Texan Live.
I'm picking them because they're great games. They just happen to also be on Texan Live. I think you should subscribe. Just saying. The Denton Geyer Wildcats come calling to North Crowley. State-ranked Denton Geyer. After North Crowley got a win last week, no big deal. They beat somebody, you know, by 6. No big deal. Moving right along. North Crowley, I would say their biggest regular season win in school history. And I think there's an argument to be made. This is the biggest win for North Crowley since they won state in 2003. Mm-hmm. Like a huge win for North Crowley to knock off DeSoto, earn, I think, a level of respect that they lost last year in the state semifinals and they got blown out by Duncanville. I think a lot of people just kind of said, oh, North Crowley last year, they blew through a weak region. As soon as they played somebody good, they got blown away, blah, 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 blah. I think North Crowley and Ray Gates took that personally and really made it a mission this long. They've had this game circled. You could tell they've had that game circled on the calendar since it was scheduled in February.
Let's be honest about this. And like I'm sure there is a coach who is going to clip this when I say it, but like that was not a fluke.
No.
North Crowley went out there and took it. They went out there and took it.
Offensively, North Crowley's offense, I mean, that offensive line, elite. You got Henry Finucu, you got Ian Carter, you got the junior John Turrentine III, who's one of the top junior offensive linemen in the country. You got a D1 quarterback in Chris Jimerson, committed to North Texas. You've got two D1 running backs in Cornelius Warren and Daniel Bray, who combined for 280 yards rushing and 4 touchdowns last week.
Mm-hmm.
You got a wide receiver in Quentin Gibson who just got his first offer, who's had 7 touchdowns in 3 games. Some of the catches that he made in that DeSoto game, unbelievable. The body control, the hands, elite. North Crowley's got it all. They got defense. They got Jonathan Cunningham at linebacker, committed to Texas, kind of the ringleader of that defense. This North Crowley team is – I had a coach watch the film and say, I was shocked at how talented North Crowley is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just shocked. Now, they're coming off a huge win, and that's going to be an issue because you're playing a team that's fully capable of beating you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they have any kind of letdown, Dettenguyer could beat them. Like, they're good enough to beat them. So, North Crowley, you know, they got to, you know, all the cliches that coaches get that throw out are being used this week by Ray Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Not taking the cheese. You know, he's going to put rat traps in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I think he said he's going to put a hog trap in the locker room. Because Ray Gates, Shiner.
A man of class and a man of dignity.
Yes. He's going to put a hog trap in the locker room and say, hey, don't fall in the trap, right? You know, those coaches' mind games. Ray Gates just went full Shiner on him, though. They're going to have to be on their P's and Q's because Geyer's good enough to beat them. They are good up front. They've got good linebacker play. They always have good running backs, and they play good special teams. Like, Geyer is a tough matchup. They beat Aledo in week one. Last week, they started out a little slow. They were down 13-0 in the first quarter to Martin. And then they scored 35 in a row, pulled away. Sterling Schneider ran for 219 yards and a touchdown. So Geyer pulled away and, you know, got a nice, comfortable 38-19 win. The question for Geyer through 2 weeks is at quarterback and their passing game overall.
Mm-hmm.
It has not been efficient. It has not
consistent. It's consistent. Like there's been times when it's looked good and you're like, oh, that's what they see.
Mm-hmm.
It just hasn't been there enough in as consistent terms as they need.
Yeah, and that's you're not going to get by against North Crowley being one-dimensional. DeSoto, as good as they were with 300 yards rushing, didn't really throw the ball that well.
No.
Like, North Crowley took away Booby Feaster and Daylon Singleton and said, we're not going to let these guys beat us, and they did. They forced Keldon Ryan to throw to other receivers in the fourth quarter, and they stalled the offense out.
Mm-hmm.
I think unless Geyer just has a really efficient day throwing the ball to keep North Crowley honest, I just can't see them. And really, they need to, what Geyer also needs to do is be efficient throwing the ball, but also keep the ball away from North Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fewer touches North Crowley gets, the better chances you have maybe finding a way to finagle a stop or two and getting out of there with an upset win. But I think North Crowley's defense figures them out. They get that win to close out non-district at 3-0 and head into district play.
This is real trap game.
Yeah.
Trap game.
North Crowley's got quite the regular season district winning streak as well. They haven't lost a regular season game in Ray Gates' tenure.
Yeah.
So at least 22 in a row in the regular season.
Matt Stepp with the final pick in the draft.
Okay.
Let's go. This is why you subscribe, people. This is what I'm about to say is why you subscribe. 7 o'clock Thursday night at the Pfield in Pflugerville. As
the Pfield.
The 2-0 Pflugerville Weiss Wolves take on the 2-0 A&M Consolidated Tigers in a newly ranked matchup, as Pflugerville Weiss has cracked our rankings.
Versus number 9, big game.
In a district opener.
12-5A Division I, what's up?
And I think, critical district opener for both these teams. Mm-hmm. This would be the kind of game that if these teams weren't as good, this would be like prime hipster game.
Oh, for
like,
sure. You know what I mean? For sure, yeah.
Because the loser of this game could be staring third place in district in the face.
Yeah, then you gotta go on the road in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Dealing with a College Station down the road, too.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a fascinating ball game.
You know what else is cool about this ball game?
Hmm.
It's live on TexanLive.com.
Let's go.
Let's freaking go.
Ashley Pickle, send the check.
Talk about Pflugerville Weiss. Venmo me. Let's talk about Pflugerville Weiss. They should not be 2-0. They should be dead to rights. Mm-hmm. We should be burying Pflugerville Weiss because Jax Brown, their quarterback.
Their senior leader.
The guy who, and I have their questionnaire up right now, okay? And I don't mind airing out Vernon Hughes because I think he'd say the same thing in the offseason. Jax is what makes our team go. Great team leader and captain, strong arm and accurate.
Yeah.
That's what Vernon Hughes wrote about his senior quarterback. He loves this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is out.
For the season. He got hurt.
For the season.
I believe he hurt his knee in the first scrimmage. I mean he recently committed. He's a division. I mean, he had Division One offers. Like he's committed to New Mexico State. So
you're thinking, oh well, certainly they have some really good junior backup, right? Who's just waiting in the wings and they just be ready a year early.
A lot of talent at a place like Weiss.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right. I'm sure. Let me just check my notes. Oh, I'm sorry. They're rolling with Jackson Shad, who is a member of the class of 2028. A true freshman.
Yes.
No, they're all old. True freshmen in high school.
No,
but
no
you know
red shirts. No legal red shirts.
He's a freshman.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something about Jackson Shad. Jackson Shad, letting him hang right now. Okay. Hey, look. He's been playing excellent. Okay. He's completing 78% of his passes. He's thrown for 530 yards, 7 touchdowns, 1 interception. A freshman at 5A doing that? Are you kidding me? He's got great weapons around him, including most notably Adrian Wilson, who's been so good for them. Mm-hmm. He's been great. But between him, Daniel Berry, they've got guys all over the place. And they can run the ball a little bit with Nick Johnson. Offense has been fantastic. Defense, well, you know, we'll see. Defense does what it needs to do. Mm-hmm. Defense needs to be on point this week.
Pitched a shutout last week.
Yes.
That was against San Marcos.
San
Marcos is riding the struggle bus this year.
Their defense will need to be great this week because they're taking on A&M Consolidated, and Will Hargett's coming to town. Will Hargett rocks.
Tell about another guy who's been... I think Will Hargett's been starting since he was a freshman.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is 36 years old.
And he's got a young but excellent receiver core with guys like Jamarian Mooring and Darius Roberts. Their offense has been great, and more importantly, the thing that stands up to me is they have faced high-powered offenses in each of the first 2 weeks, Forney and Lake Belton.
That's a great win for A&M Consolidated against 6A Forney.
6A Forney.
A really good 6A team. Forney 0-2.
And come away.
Oh, no, 1-1. They beat Lake Highlands. Never mind. Sorry.
And come away.
Sorry, Coach Fleener.
With a win. I think it'll be pointsy.
Okay.
I think it'll be pointsy.
Okay.
I hate to break it down like this. I'm going to go with the senior quarterback, 4-year starter, over a guy starting his third varsity. See, a guy who's 14 years old. Like, that's not a knock on this Jackson Shad, who is awesome. But, like, right now, like, to me, in a district opener, if I'm A&M Consolidated, I'm coming out with all sorts of ways.
You know, Brandon Schmidt's going to throw some blitzes
and some exotic looks at him.
And say, hey, freshman, figure this out.
There's going to be like a zone blitz where the nose tackle is playing free safety.
The freshman's head's just going to explode. It's going to explode.
That's what I think is going to happen. It's a fabulous game, and Weiss can absolutely do it because they got a ton of other weapons.
Mm-hmm.
I think I trust the A&M Consolidated defense a little bit more. And I also think that they've got the experience level at quarterback, which is probably the difference here.
It's the difference in experience between these two quarterbacks is vast.
But let me tell you, though, Jackson Shad, buy your stock right now.
Oh, yeah. He's going to be...
I think he's already got offers.
Yeah, he's going to be a guy that Greg Powers is doing a story on.
We're going to be talking about Jackson Shad for a while. Yeah. So that's your week three draft. Step took Wimberly and Austin LBJ, Austin Westlake and Atascocita because he's an Austin homer, Bridgeland and Ridgepoint, Gilmer, Kilgore, and North Crowley and Geyer. I took Eastport, Arcanado, Southlake, Carroll, Byron, Nelson, Stratford and Sunray, Carthage and Liberty, Ilo, and Pflugerville, Weiss, and A&M Consolidated.
Nice.
Good span.
Good week, three week.
Absolutely. It's now time for our hipster game of the week. Matt Stepp, what is your hipster game of the week?
I'm actually staying in District 12, 5A Division
1. Oh!
May I interest you in a game Friday night in College Station?
You sure can, buddy.
As the Austin Anderson Trojans at 2-0 visit College Station to take on the Cougars in a... I think this is a game that we're going to get a chance to see how good Austin Anderson is.
Mm-hmm.
This is a team with a lot of hype. They dropped down from 6A to 5A. They had a great summer, went all the way to the championship game in State 7-on-7. They've got that dude in Ed Small, another dude's rock player.
He is
amongst
dude's rock
our DCTF favorites. Max Gerlich, the UTSA committed quarterback, unbelievable, has put up big numbers in the first two games. This is the Anderson offense that's averaging 60 points a game. That seems good.
Seems good. I think that's pretty good.
If you average 60 points a game, I think you'll be pretty good. Now, they're entering a tough part of their schedule. They got College Station and Consol back-to-back weeks.
Tough team.
Tough. If Anderson can get a win in this game this week, I think it sets them up to compete for the district championship.
Okay.
Donald Hatcher's squad is that exciting, that good. Now, going to College Station and beating the Cougars, Stony Prior's ball club is a tall, tall order on the road. College Station's experience. They've been in big games. They have two wins in their pocket over 6A programs already. I'm going to be watching this game in 12-5A Division I. Big district game to open up. Is Austin Anderson for real? That's the question about this game.
It's a good pick. It's an excellent pick. I'm going to go to the Houston area for my hipster game of the week, and let's do a Friday night game. As you can tell me, it's Friday night, 7 o'clock. I do know that, but I'm looking for a stadium, so we're going to find out. Hold on. I'm kind of giving away some of the intrigue here. Let's go 7 o'clock Friday night at Moorhead Stadium in Conroe as the 2-0 Conroe Tigers take on the 1-1 College Park Cavaliers in a district, what is this, 14-6A? 13-6A game that I think could be for a playoff spot.
Yeah, this is a...
I think this is a 4-5 game.
When I was figuring out my hipster picks, this game was on my radar as well.
This is a 4-5 game. Okay, so take a look at District 13-6A, right? Mm-hmm. Feel pretty good about the Woodlands? Getting in the playoff.
I feel like that. Yeah.
Willis, mm-hmm. Speaking of which, very impressive mm-hmm. over Klein Collins last week. Conroe, Oak Ridge, I'm in on. I like Oak Ridge. I think they're going to get a third playoff spot, right?
Okay.
I think you've got this glut of teams. Conroe, the Woodland, or College Park, Grand Oaks, mm-hmm. probably New Caney. That are probably fighting for one spot. Caney Creek?
Oak Ridge is struggling a little
okay.
bit. We may have to sell some stock on Oak Ridge okay. right now. But Conroe, College Park, and mm-hmm. Grand Oaks especially.
They're playing musical chairs. One of these teams is going to get left out.
Those three teams are a combined 5-1 right now.
And so this is a game for early pole position that can buy you some leeway. That's what this is. This is buying you some cushion.
Oh, yeah.
That you don't have to go and upset somebody or win a game you shouldn't have.
And if you end up in a tie, mm-hmm. you've got the tiebreaker.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think this game is a huge, huge game. Friday night at Moorhead Stadium. Sure. I like Conroe. I think they're the favorite. Have you seen what their defense is doing? You know, they have. They are 2-0. I have this mm-hmm. here. Where are you, you ding dong? Oh, they're 2-0, and they have won two games by a combined score of 41-20. It's real old school.
They've
football.
Handled A-Leaf ISD pretty well.
Correct.
College Park's played a little bit tough. The, mm-hmm. the first game at Cy Park, okay. Sorry, Cy Park. And last week they lost to Klein Kane. Klein Kane state ranked, really yep. good team. So I think the winner of this game gets a nice buffer win.
Yes, that's call exactly that a buffer what it is. It's a yeah. buffer win. Yeah. Exactly right. So there it is, my hipster game of the week, Conroe and the Woodlands College Park.
Great game.
Now let's close things out by going to our producer, V&A Moreno, and asking, hey, V&A, what'd you write down during the show?
Let's see. Okay, I have like some pretty good... okay, at 58, we can go kind of backwards. Real trap game.
Real trap game, yeah. You'll hear us say this a lot.
Yeah. Real trap game.
That's a mm-hmm. tep and step regular there.
yes. Sorry, what did I do that was so charming and amazing?
49 minutes. Tepper has the pitchforks.
Tepper has the pitchforks. Yeah. Yeah.
For Scott Surratt.
Yeah. For like the greatest high school football coach of all time.
Okay. Dudes Rock Bowl.
Dudes Rock Bowl. Stratford and Sunray is a Dudes Rock Bowl.
Dudes Wipes.
Dudes Wipes sponsor us, please.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rudy, get on that.
How are you not going to get the real winner of this week?
What do you mean?
The Byron Nelson quarterback.
Wait. Rizjack.
That's right. That's Grant Rizjack. If he beats South Lake Carroll, he's forever Grant Rizjack.
He's Grant Rizjack.
Absolutely.
For real.
Where are you going this week?
All right. Thursday night, I will be in Pflugerville.
Oh!
As the A&M Consolidated Tigers take on Pflugerville Weiss. We'll be broadcasting on Texan Live. I will not be doing the game on Texan Live.
But no, they've got professionals for that.
I will be in the house for that game. So looking forward to that.
You might get pulled in at halftime.
Maybe. And if they want to pull me in at halftime, I'll hop on and show my face. Yeah, give them the content that people crave. Friday night, I'll be back in the Metroplex doing a down and back to Pflugerville. It helps when you live, far south Fort Worth. You know where I live now.
I do.
It's right off 35.
Right off 35?
And very far south.
Mm-hmm. You point to a place I shouldn't stop.
Yeah. I did. don't go there. E-block. Friday night, Midlothian. I will be at Texas High Midlothian Heritage. Midlothian Heritage off to a slow start, 0-2. Always dangerous, but Texas High.
I might tell my parents to go to that game and go see you.
Texas Tredarian Ball.
Because they live in Midlothian.
Yeah, it should be.
They live right by Midlothian Heritage High School.
Tredarian Balling Out is what I call them. So
that's why they pay the big bucks, folks.
And then Saturday, I will be at the Barry Center as Ridge Point takes on Bridgeland. And I, on Texan Live, I will be on the call of this game with big time Tommy. Tommy Yarish.
Tommy why?
Big time Tommy.
Wait. Tommy Yarish is calling a Bridgeland game?
I know. And yeah, Roach has already told me that. Roach and Hudson have already said, you've got to keep Tommy.
He's the Dave South of Bridgeland.
Oh, he's going to be saying us and we. It's going
to
be.
Yeah. I love Dave South, by the way.
I'm going to have to keep Tommy in line because, you know, what I may do just to do as a bit is just if Ridge Point scores a touchdown, just really overcall the Ridge Point touchdown. And just be like, oh my God, did you see that play?
What a
unbelievable
play! Wow, this Ridgepoint team, they're unstoppable.
Yeah,
like a knife through butter.
Yeah, just really sell it and see how quick I piss Tommy off and he mutes me for the rest of the game.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, so I'll be at the Barry Center. So I mean, H-Town on Saturday. So the GIF.
Austin, DFW, and Houston.
Yeah. In one weekend. That's what we call a sicko weekend
It's a sicko weekend.
And this guy is a sicko.
It's going to do it for
who?
T Swift in it. Never mind.
Okay. That's going to do it for us as we try to figure out what that means. Thanks for spending a little bit of your day with us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Thanks to our intrepid producer, VNA Marino.
VNA.
Thank you for your courage. Steph, thank you for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next week on Tep and Steph.